Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, there you go, there you go.
What's up, people? What up, Brother B?
Hey, Big Red, what up? Hey, what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? This is Brother B, along with the infamous Big Red. And
yes, sir.
This is the menu. The menu. The menu. Welcome back. What up, y'all?
What's up, everyone?
Yeah, I hope all is well at this time.
Hey,
listen,
yeah.
Red. I want to give a shout out to definitely the Blog Talk Radio. You know, being the vehicle for us to do our thing. Also, want to give a shout out to, you know, a good 90%, you know, of our listeners, you know, come from, you know, United States. I definitely want to say what up. Much love. Thank you for the support to them. But I also want to thank the UK and London for, you know, our overseas people from listening and supporting the menu. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you enough. And listen, I gotta get this chat room taken care of, man. We gotta square this away so we can start to hear more from our people overseas. And also, I would like to know, like, what's currently going on over there? Because, you know, you can't always pick up a newspaper or listen to the news and, you know, find out, like, what's really going on. Because I don't trust, like, newspaper or the news and stuff like that. So it would be nice to hear something from somebody that's actually over there and, like, well, this is what's going on. This is the temperature right now. And, hey, represent where you're from. You know what I'm saying?
Right, awesome. Exactly.
That would definitely be awesome.
I really would.
Definitely. You know, Big Red and Brother B, want to thank you guys for, you know, for tuning in. We really, really do appreciate it. And what's going on with you, Big Red? What's going on?
I'm chilling. Relaxing on my day off, of course. I'm chilling, you know. Just trying to, you know, make it, you know, last week I was messed up, Jack, but this week I'm much better.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Old age was kicking in with me. Old people things.
Yeah. It ain't old age. I just think you don't drink enough.
No, that's the problem. Drinking is what causes that problem.
Yeah, I don't think you drink enough.
And even though I haven't drank anything, that, you know, that's what caused that problem, which was the gout situation. That's what,
You don't indulge enough. Spirits. And you don't indulge the spirits like you drink the, you know, the brown or the clear liquor. It'll burn you out. It'll burn that stuff out of your body. So you gotta indulge every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Oh God.
So listen, the menu is not advocating, you know, alcoholism or anything like that, but you know, they do say in studies that, you know, every once in a while a good drink doesn't hurt. you know, as long as it's kept in moderation and within reason. Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, let's,
trying
let's,
to ride
let's
no bicycles and drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Don't
well, I'm sure people do it, but.
You know, don't drink. Don't drink while you're trying to change a diaper. You know, and no, for some reason, I've been noticing there's, you know, a lot of my Facebook friends, a lot of people got babies dropping this weekend. like, yo.
Yeah.
I find it interesting. And, you know, congratulations to a coworker of mine who, she just had a baby, you know, little baby girl. Wanted to say congratulations to two friends of mine, Felisa Moss, Billy Moss, with their twin girls. Lord have mercy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, two babies in one shot. That's, woo. Woo.
Well, listen, that's like, what's happening
that's like,
these days.
That's back-to-back chases like this.
Yep.
Back-to-back. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, congratulations to everybody else that we don't know that's dropping babies, you know. God bless. And, you know, wish you well with that, you know. And welcome
well,
to
I know
the
who
one.
Ain't. I know who ain't dropping them. Big Red. Big Red ain't dropping nothing. I might drop this cat.
Listen, leave that damn cat alone. That's what I can't mess with in the head now.
I know, right?
So,
oh God,
you know, yeah, man. So, all right, our title tonight, our show tonight, is why do blacks not support black owned? Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. Once again, this is the menu with Big Red and Brother B.
What be
happening? So yeah, all right. You wanna set this off, or you know?
You can set it off.
Well.
Set it up. I got a
my
couple
whole attitude,
but you know,
my whole attitude with why do blacks not support black-owned business? I don't know. I can say what I think, but I don't know for sure. But all right, you know, I guess maybe some of us are so trained to buy into a brand or a label that's so familiar, you know,
right.
Something that we've been dealing with, like a Donna Karen or, you know, Calvin Klein or, you know, Tom Ford. Like, you know, it's an infamous, a famous name. You know, it's a big brand. And
right.
We just buy into that because, oh, it's Tom Ford. Like, oh, you know, it's Ralph Lauren. Oh, it's this. Like, it's not, you know, but that's just on the clothing aspect. I mean, when we look at other stuff like the little mom-pop stores that are black-owned, we don't support it. Why? Now, I've heard some people say that, yo, sometimes black people get a business and they start jacking the prices up. And, you know, some, you know, how do you, you know, some people don't want to support that because of the prices. But my thing is, if you spend it, if you don't spend it there, you'll spend it someplace else. So,
right.
I mean, really, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? Like, really, what's the difference? You know, and, like, why not? I mean, me personally, I mean, business is business. But I just wanted to, you know, kind of touch upon this because, you know, I've been, you know, doing some reading here and there. And, you know, I see a lot of people on Facebook talking about, you know, black-owned business or support this, support that. But do we really support it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just wondering, like, why? Like, why do we don't go out there and, you know, kind of support our own? Is it because of the service? Is it because, like, we're afraid we're gonna get something that we don't want? I mean, you know, what is it?
I think it's a little bit of both because, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes when we are us, when we do our own thing, sometimes we don't give that quality, 100% quality that we supposed to. I'm not saying all black-owned businesses or black-owned businesses do that, but sometimes when you, you know, sometimes when you go into some of these businesses that are black-owned, sometimes there's, you know, there's attitude going on. Nobody has customer service, and you would, and you as a black person going into this establishment would think, okay, well, you know, you're you know, you're like me, so what's with the attitude? Like, there's a particular hair store that I used to go to get, you know, weaving hair, and they were good at first. They started off pretty well. But then, like, within maybe a year or two, now they have other stores. Like, they started opening up other stores, but this particular one happened to be in Brooklyn. So when it seemed like when the person started opening up other stores and they was on Instagram and all this other stuff, it's like the quality started going down. Even that, like the hair, they were selling, but the quality wasn't good. And I heard a lot of people started, like people that I know that were complaining, the customer service, you go in there, and I even experienced it myself where I have went in there, and the young ladies that are in there, they're just like, you know, very nonchalant, and then, you know, they don't try and help you, asking them questions, and they busy singing and doing all kinds of stuff. And it's like, okay, I'm here as a customer. You can sing and stuff after I leave out the store.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that now. It doesn't make any sense. So I think that may be possibly what the problem is. That may be possibly what the problem is. And, you know, of course, just like you said, this, you know, it's the pricing. Like, it seems like, you know, you'll pay more money at one of those stores than you will. But you know what, then again, just like you said, but you'll go to, just like you said, you'll go to Tom Ford, you'll go on Fifth Avenue and spend the same amount of money that you're going to spend in, you know, one of your own people's store. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it doesn't make any, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But then again, you know, I don't know. People just, you know, and then even, you know, like smaller business, like when you know, like somebody that may be starting off a business or something like that, or they're doing a business, and because their prices are a certain way, you may not want to buy from them. You know, or a person, you know, they may not want to buy from them, which is, you know, I don't know why, but it's like,
go ahead.
But the thing is, they have to realize that if this person is starting their business on their own and they're doing this something like maybe out of their house on a website or something like that, they have to pay for time and labor. They have to pay for certain things that they're doing because this is their time and their labor that they're putting into this.
That's true. But all right. Now, I've heard some people, you know, that, you know, own, you know, some businesses, or own a black, you know, black-owned business, but then they turn around and say, well, if you can pay this price over there, then you should be able to pay it over here.
Right, right, right.
And I get it, but then at the same time, I don't get it because, all right, unless your label or your brand or what you do has been established like that. See, it's like when you was talking about, you know, going to pick up your hair, you know, or pick up certain things from the store. Like people, once again, people keep going to the spots that they frequent. Like sometimes they stay loyal to the places that they go. And if you're going to, let's say, a Korean store, and they have everything that you need, you've been going there for years, it's kind of hard to start going to somebody saying, oh, well, you know, there's a black-owned spot, this, that, and they got everything that, you know, we need, you know, or you need that we use for only for us and us. And sometimes it's not about us.
Right.
Like you said, it's just about, you know, quality of service. And, but it's also about the fact that, yo, listen, this is a place that I've been going through for years. Like, I don't really feel like stopping where I'm going and going to your spot just because you're black owned. I mean, I'll check it out, but it doesn't guarantee that I'm going to be a customer.
Right.
And that's, I think that's one of the thing, one of the main things.
And then it's kind of sad because, you know what, it's sad because me and a friend of mine was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago. We were sitting around talking, me, her, and her sister, and what we're talking about now, she was basically saying the same thing. Like, we will invest money in other cultures. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but in other cultures, but they keep their money in between them. Like, they keep their money between them, and they know how to network in a certain way where everybody is eating. But when it comes to us, it's just like, oh, that's just so-and-so. They do their thing on their own, and nobody tries to connect or network so everybody can eat.
That's true.
So it's just, yeah, so it's just like, it's just like, she made a good point when she said that, because I was like, yeah, you know what, you're right. You know, like, you know, not to say anything, but just like, look at the, look at the bodegas and look at the Arabs that own the stores. It's like, they have their whole family working in that store.
Yeah.
They own those 99-cent stores. They have the whole family working in there. Even down to Dunkin', if you look at even Dunkin' Donuts, which I frequent the one I frequent, but it's like every time you turn around, they're hiring their family members. They hire their own people.
Yeah.
Like, you'll hardly see, like, the whole time that I went to this Dunkin' Donuts around my way, I may have seen maybe one or two young, black kids working in there. Otherwise than that, it's state people. It's the Arab, whoever it is, it's their people. They always hire their people.
Well, okay. So now, like, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, real quick. Do you think do you feel that's discriminatory, or you just like, hey, business is business?
Let me see. I'm half and half on that, because sometimes I say that to myself, like, wow, how y'all, you hire your own people, which is fine, but see, guess what? You have a lot of young black kids around here that need jobs, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind working in getting a little couple of dollars, because I'm going to put it to you like this, yeah, y'all hire y'all family members or somebody, cousin, brother, uncle, somebody, but you know what? They're not making my coffee right. If I'm telling them my order, I got to tell them 3 or 4 times, and then they don't understand. They don't understand what I'm saying, and it's like, then you got to come out the back, the manager, or somebody got to come out the back and tell this person what to do, and then that person might be overcharging me, because guess what? They don't know what they're doing on that register, and I've experienced that plenty of times. Where they hire one of their people. It may not be a family member, but they hire one of their people, and guess what? They don't know what they're doing, because you got to tell them something 3 or 4 times, or they don't make this right or that right. And it's like, you're used to your coffee or whatever being made one way, and then when they're making it a whole different way, because they didn't pay attention, or they don't understand what you're saying. Where you can get someone, like I said, you get one of these kids around here that probably will know how to make it, because, they understand what's going on.
True, but
so
all right.
I think it's kind of, half and half on that.
Okay. Now, let me play devil's advocate, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many times, just like, and you just said it earlier,
mm-hmm.
How many times have some of us have went to a store, and there's a certain ethnicity of individuals there, whether it's ours, whether it's black, Indian, whatever, but right now we're talking about black owners.
Mm-hmm.
And or just the work ethic in general of some.
Mm-hmm.
And cats want to give you a hard time. Or they seem like they don't want to be there. Or they seem like they just have this attitude. And it's like, no one wants to deal with that. Like, if you hate your job, then that's your business.
Right.
If you don't like the fact of what you're doing, then that's your business.
Right.
But you should not bring that into the workplace at all, because like when you have a job, you're representing, you know, not just yourself, but you're representing the company or the place that you work
right.
for. And if you don't want to be there, or if you have an attitude, or you're treating people a certain way, or you're not treating them a certain way, then of course they're going to get caught on in their feelings, and then they don't want to deal with you anymore.
Right, exactly. But
once again, there's a stereotype that comes with black folk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let other people say it, like the Pilgrims. Oh, they're lazy, they're disrespectful, they have attitudes, this, that, and the third. And they're people that feed into the stereotypical attitude. And
mm-hmm.
in actuality, there are some black people that actually support it, because they do
right.
it on a day-to-day basis. And with that being
right.
said, who would want to go into the store knowing that this is what they one of these stereotypical attitudes or types we may have to deal with? Who wants to do
right,
that?
Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So why should I
you're
support your business
right.
knowing that as soon as I go in there, you know, or my first time going in there, no one greeted me at the door? Because, you know, some people want that. Some people want
right.
that acknowledgement. I'm coming in your store, or I'm doing stuff, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody's going to sit there and, like, coddle you or anything, but just a simple, hey, you know, acknowledgement of, hey, welcome to my store.
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Like welcome to our store, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
That goes a long way. That definitely goes a long way. And there are people out there who wake up out of their bed and have nothing else better to do but then to test the patience of others.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come to your place and they will test your patience and see, oh, no one greeted me at the door.
Yep.
I was
yep.
in your store for like 20 minutes and no one offered me any type of service whatsoever. And
right.
even if you go up to them,
right.
and even if you go up to them and say, oh, do you need help? They'll turn around and be like, oh, no, I don't need any help, thank you. But the fact that you asked.
Asked,
the
right,
fact that
right.
you
and
asked
that's right.
you need some help. Yeah, exactly.
And that makes
you know,
a
that
big difference.
A
mm-hmm. And that makes a big difference of making or breaking your that makes a big difference of making and breaking your difference. I mean, your business, because like I said, it's sad. And once again, I hate to say this, but like, you know, I'm not going to say a lot of black owned businesses, but some of them, you get that where people don't speak or they don't, you know, or you just come walking, because then once again, because I have experienced it where I have been into stores where it's black owned or whatever, and, you know, people don't acknowledge you or they don't speak to you, or even in a regular store, and you have let's think about a regular store where you have black people working there, and, you know, the customer service is not good, or like I said, it's attitude, or you know, It's just like, it's sad. And I'm not saying, you know, anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, it's sad that sometimes that customer service is really bad. And customer service is really bad now, you know, in this day and age. And a lot of these young people definitely don't have it, but it's just that, you know, you have some adults that don't have it as well.
Well, though, I mean, the whole thing is just like, why happens to them? I mean, I don't have a problem with working. Some people do. But that doesn't mean that you go out there and you put that attitude that you don't want to work, you don't want to be there out there. Like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
come on. Excuse me. If you're out there to make money, if you're out there to pay your rent, you're out there to do whatever, listen, you gotta put on the show. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? You gotta play the game.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You gotta go out there and play the game. And sadly enough, because there's been other stores that I walked into that are not black owned.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would just have to say for right now, the minority workers that do work there, they don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly.
They don't want to be bothered. They, you know, they got their little attitude, a chip on their shoulder, and they don't want you asking them anything. Just would have come in, do their hours, and like, I want to leave.
and go home. Yeah, that's all they want to do. Do their hours, go home, or sit on Facebook all, I mean, Instagram all day and Snapchat, and that's what they want to do. They don't really want to work. They just want to make enough money to, I guess, put gas in their car if they have one, or get coffee just to get back and forth to work, or to go to some little cheap store and buy an outfit for the evening or whatever. But, you know, that's all they want to do.
But people
it's good to support, you know, a black business or somebody that's starting to, you know, somebody that you know that may be starting something or starting a business. But it's all on how, you know, like I said, not everybody is built for it. You know, people want to start something, but not everybody's built for it.
Oh, well, this is true.
Not everybody's built for that.
This is true.
Not everybody's built for that.
Yeah, but listen. All right. Everybody may not be built for it. But the thing is this. Some people want to take their pride in, oh, this is a black-owned business. This is what we do. This is how it is. Da, 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 da. I mean, listen. You have to carry your brand. You have to do what you have to do. And the thing is, if it's not attractive to us as your people, what really make you think it's going to be attractive to anyone else? But then at the same
right,
on the
exactly.
flip note, on the flip side of it, there are people outside of us that will support one of our businesses before we support our own. And it's like, why?
That's true.
Like, why are we not being, like, why are
you
overlooking
you know what?
Me?
You know what? You know what? I really I hate to put this out there. You know why I think that they support us before we support. I think to me, and this is just my opinion, I think it's out of guilt.
Guilt?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about that the other day. And to me, and this is going a little off subject. But I was at work and I seen there was a guy outside of, once again, Dunkin' Donuts. He was panhandling for money. And he was black. And I seen a white guy go up to him and give him some money. And I don't know, that thought just popped in my head. And as you saying that, it's just like, do they do these things out of guilt? Like, maybe it's like a guilt thing that the reason why they do it. So as you saying that, what you said about, just like you said, outside, other than us, or outside people will support our business that we may do before our own people, it's like, do they do it out of guilt, or are they doing it out of guilt, or do they feel like, oh, well, I feel sorry for this person, so I'm going to go and buy from them?
You could be on to something with that, but at the same time, I think it's this.
Mm-hmm.
As much as some people want to sit there and paint all white people like devils, all white people are not. And you have a lot of, like, good-natured people, whether they're white or black, out there, but white people, like, their dollar is different. And they're willing to try new stuff. Like, prime example. You know, I'm going through the hood last week. I mean, the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, East New York. And, like, places where years ago you would not see anyone Caucasian. But they're there.
Right. Right.
They're there. And they're there, and they're establishing themselves, and they're doing what they have to do. Okay, cool. With that being said, on the flip side, we don't do that.
Nope.
We don't do that at all. We don't step our foot in any market unless it's like football, it's some type of sport or rap music, or some type of drug market or something. But we don't step our foot. A lot of us don't step our foot into something unless it's going to be extremely profitable. White people, and I have to say it, we're not just white people. But there are other people, but we'll talk, I guess we could go white and black right now. White people will start small. they will have enough capital to start that little flower shop in an area where no one really buys flowers too much, but, you know, it could use a sprucing up. And they'll wait for 1 or 2 years for the neighborhood to start to change, and the next thing you know, they'll be getting all types of business. Because, you know, like a little flower shop, a little flower shop is not something you need every day, but you have a one day just like, you know what, I need to get somebody some flowers, but they ain't no flower spots in sight. But then you just, oh, wait a minute, there's a new spot that somebody just opened up, and then boom, it becomes convenient.
Right, exactly. Exactly, but that's my thing. Like, okay, with that now, if you look at that now, let's flip it on the other side, because I've been in neighborhoods where it's mostly Caucasian, and while I'm on the bus or if I'm walking, you may see one black-owned shop, and I know it's black-owned because they have certain things in the store that I know that we are going to buy. Like, maybe I'm going to say it's as simple as a sneaker store with, you know, like a sneaker store with clothing and stuff like that. And like I said, this is in a mostly Caucasian neighborhood, and it's that maybe, you know, that one black store. Because, of course, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have the Chinese-owned place. You're going to have, you know, the Arab, the Indian. You're always going to have the bodega on the corner. It's always going to be those. But then you have that one or two black-owned stores in that area. So it's like you said, it's like a changing. And just like you said, if that sneaker store and that clothing store is the only sneaker clothing store in that area, and say somebody in that area watched so-and-so on TV, because that's another thing, but we'll get into that in a minute. I watched so-and-so on TV, and, yo, he had on a fresh pair of Adidas. You know, around the corner, there's a sneaker store around there.
But is that what we're limited to? You know what I'm saying? Like, why does it seem like that's what we're limited to? Like,
I'm not saying that, but
I'm just saying it generally.
Right. Because I've seen other types of stores in like neighborhoods where it's mostly Caucasian people, not just a sneaker store. I've seen a store, oh my God, what if the store was selling? I think they were selling paintings or something like that in the store. And it was in a white-owned neighborhood. I mean, you know, predominantly a Caucasian neighborhood.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
Look what you just said. A store of, like, with paintings.
Mm-hmm.
You said a black person did this, right?
Right, yes.
Because they know it's going to be appreciated. Like, that's the thing.
Right, yeah.
Caucasians or white people, they will buy that. They will invest
in that. Right, exactly.
They don't have no problem with
stuff like that, right.
Exactly. Like, they'll do art. You know what I'm saying? That's stuff to them. That's a culture. That's what they like. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But why can't someone open up an art store in one of our own areas, in one of our
places? Right. Right.
And why can't we support
it?
Why? Because we're not cultured?
Right. Exactly.
Because that's what it's basically going to boil down to, is because we're not cultured. Because black people don't buy paintings. But we don't buy sculptures. We don't do stuff like that. And see, that's the thing. I have to say it, and whether it's right or wrong, it is what it is. White people dabble in a lot of shit.
Right, exactly.
That's
You're
why
right.
they dollar goes far. We get real selective and want to hold, you know, oh, I got to hold on to my money. I can't spend no $50 on a patent. I don't paint. I don't even go to museums.
Right.
But see, that's not, you're missing the point, but it's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
Exactly.
This is exactly why we stay behind the eight ball, because we refuse to go forward, you know, in terms of economics. Like, listen, anybody can open up a goddamn sneaker store.
Right,
but
exactly.
Why can't you be that black person opening up that deli? Or a Kennedy?
Yep.
Now, you know a Kennedy or Crown Chicken in the hood is priceless.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the Arabs
and the Indians, they got
but
that.
But they got that on lock. Oh yeah, they
you
got that.
Listen,
but that's what I'm saying. They got certain things on lock, right? Mm-hmm.
Listen, you probably
they
can't
got,
even go to open up a Crown or a Kennedy without like running through a. You got to see the Arabs and the Indians first. They'll shut you down. Like what? Nah, this ain't your.
You gotta see the Dalai Lama first.
Yeah, exactly.
Be,
like this is not what you do. Stay in your place and go. And it's sad to say, but like go sell your drugs or go sell some sneakers or something. But
right.
This
yep. Exactly. And that's what my point I was saying before is that they invest in their own and they put on everybody to their own, like they own people onto things. Like the Chinese restaurant, you ain't going to see now what black person you know own the Chinese restaurant.
Well, because we don't know how to make that stuff. But you're absolutely right. You absolutely will eat
okay.
it, but we don't know how to make it. We can't finesse
right,
it like
exactly.
that. Right,
exactly.
Call the 5891, you're on the air with the menu. What up?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Oh,
what's
shit.
Up?
Hey, dog.
What's up? Hey, man.
Hey, dog. What up? Hey, yo, brother.
Hey,
my bad. I'm not getting back to you, man. It's been like a crazy week, and you know I work like
nah,
I'm working some extra shifts, and when I go to sleep, I'm down.
I hear you, bro.
black
all
off
good,
down.
Man. It's all good.
Down, what up, brother?
It's all good, bro. Man, listen, look. I was listening to the show, and of course I was How ironic, I was having that conversation the other day with my sister about
mm-hmm.
black-owned businesses in the black neighborhood. And she even made a statement. She said, you know what? Why is it that whenever there are black-owned businesses in the black community, usually the customer service is so terrible,
mm-hmm.
and second, they're overpriced.
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
You see, being that I live in Brooklyn, it's multi-diverse. Now, you see, there's a difference between the way that black Americans run a business and you know, blacks from other countries run a business. You see, when people come from the countries of Africa and they come over here, they want to hustle. They will do everything to start their own business. And usually when they start their own businesses, it usually works. Like hair braiding or selling products in the store. I'm like, man, they make a fortune doing that. But then after
they
when
do.
You go into a black home, but then after that's the problem that we have in our community. You know, the great division, you know, the difference between black American and you know, blacks from other countries is that they come here to work, they mean business. And they'll push their business no matter what. They'll start off small. They don't mind starting off with that. You know, if they have to start out in their apartment, they'll do it.
Exactly.
You know, and the problem is that they don't care how small they start. But as long as they can get that money, and later on their business booming. And the same thing goes for blacks in West Indies. They come over and they set up a business. Hey, they'll start off small, and then next thing you know, they're blowing up. And the problem is, like I said, with the black-owned businesses, like I remember years ago in Crown Heights, in Bedford Avenue, there was a store, a clothing store. I remember it was called Uncle Ralph. And in that
Uncle
store,
Ralph.
They would sell all
I
the,
remember that.
Yep. Back in the 90s, that was on Ralph McDaniel.
I remember.
Yeah, Uncle Ralph. And I remember going inside that store. Man, let me tell you, expensive. It was expensive. I'm like, how could you open a store like that in a neighborhood and the prices are so high that people could barely afford it?
That was just like Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Huh?
Like Spike Lee, like what was it, Spike's joint?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember Spike. Is that is it still around?
I don't know.
I think
never went there.
I remember it was in East New York.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. But you know, you understand what I'm saying. It's like, why do you have to raise the prices? And plus, the customer service in there is bad. Like you go in there,
that's
and
bad.
They're not going to help you out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And you know, and that is ways a problem. Because I remember earlier this week, Brother B, what I wanted to talk to you about was that there's this brother at my job. He listened to Dr. Umar Johnson, and he went crazy. He's going crazy. Nuts. Completely nuts.
What you mean?
Like, I'm like, bro, calm down. I understand you're getting some knowledge, but, bro, take it easy.
Oh, he listened to him, and then he kind of let it go to his head.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
And you...
Listen, some people are not always conscious of the way they say things or the repercussions that they may have. Like, I really hate to sound like this, but it's true. You can't always think that the person that you're talking to you're giving information to, you can't assume that they're intelligent. You can't assume
exactly.
that they process information a certain way
mm-hmm.
as to where it's conducive to, you know, themselves or anyone else around them. That's the whole thing. It's like you can speak to people, but like I said before, there's effective communication and there's communication. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't communicate effectively because they're not responsibility or they're not owning up to how somebody may feel or who they got riled up after they said what they just had to say. They just wanted to get their point across, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's sad, but, you know, this is what it is. This is what it boils down to right now. You know?
Right.
I mean, with Trump being in office, you know, I would say even with Obama being in office, there's been a microscope, very much so, not like, it's something that just started. But ever since, you know, Obama got into office, race has become very much an issue. Because there are people out there who really seem to, like, have a problem with a black person doing this or a black person doing that, and they're quick to say something about it. Or they're quick to just be like, well, we'll see, you know, like people want to make an argument about Black Lives Matter. Listen, let me tell you something. Black Lives Matter happened because somebody did something.
Right.
And I guess because a cop shot someone of color and was acquitted or nothing was really done. I don't care how much logic.
And it started under Trayvon Martin.
Trayvon
Martin.
And my thing is this. I don't care how much you try to legally make something right, morally, it's wrong. But this country is not about morals. It's about
right.
It's legal. It's on paper. It's legal. And still, if even though it's on paper, if it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because America is about a double standard. And like I said, I hear people talk junk about. I mean, sorry, straying off topic a little bit, but they talk about Black Lives Matter. Listen, I'm not big on that whole Black Lives Matter thing because there's things that we need to work out within ourselves before we start telling everybody else. But the thing
right.
is this, just because we treat each other a certain way, it doesn't give you the goddamn right to go out and shoot my son or go out and shoot my daughter
exactly.
or go out and shoot my brother.
Exactly.
It doesn't give you the right,
right.
to do that. And
to do that,
right.
that's wrong.
Just because you think I'm not watching, trust me. There's somebody always watching.
Yep.
And you're not above reproach. Because, once again, I've heard, listen, you can go to court and go before a judge because you beat somebody because they touched your kid. Listen, a judge can sit there and tell you all you want, like, you know, there are laws in this country or there's rules and this, that, and the third. You can believe that shit if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But nature
right.
and instinct takes over when somebody's doing something to your child.
That's
but
right.
The law, the law doesn't want to hear that. Because the law of the land is the law of the land. Okay.
Right.
Whatever. Like I said, morally, this country is not about morals. Because if it was,
there is no more than
it really wouldn't. It wouldn't. Certain issues just wouldn't exist. And like I said, we had 8 years of Obama, and all they wanted to do is trash him. It's bad enough. Like, I was talking with some people today, and how did someone like so Obama had like the worst security of any president? How did somebody jump the fence and get close to the White House? How did that happen?
Right. But then after brother being Big Red, President Obama also received backlash from within our own community, and that's sad.
Because you know what? We're not a community. I don't give a damn what anyone says. We're not really
a
community. We're just a bunch of people that happen to live together in the area because we live together in the area. We are not a community.
And guess what? If you look at it, it's like we don't love
each other and we don't do shit for each other. So we can't continue to say, oh, well, the black community, you know what? Shut the hell up. Because if you were really about the black community, then that 8 years that black man was sitting in that office, we would have supported him. Even if we disagree, because I'm going to tell you something, real talk, you look at the white folk. It's not like, listen, some of them disagree with Trump, but they won't say it on TV.
That's right.
They will
not say it. But see, that's the thing.
But then when we disagree with Obama, even though he's not in the office anymore, some of them actually call him out, saying, oh, you did nothing, or you did, all you did was protect gay people.
Listen, how do you know? Listen, we know people, it's sad to say, but a lot of black people don't pick up books and read. They don't get into the whole political aspect. So the whole thing is this, how do you know what he did and he didn't do? Just because somebody put it on 6 o'clock news? Hey, come on, man. Like, that's not educating yourself, watching the news and reading the newspaper. That's not educating yourself. But a lot of people see that, oh, I read the news today, so I'm informed on the current events. No, you're not.
And now, back to this situation, why don't we support our own? It's a whole wide umbrella, man. Why don't we support our own business? Why don't we build businesses in our community, keep money in our community?
But going back to what y'all just said, that's the whole reason why, because we're so busy not being a community to when it comes to one another.
No, it's too much of a selfish attitude. It's me, my
generation. That's what it is. Everything is about self. Right,
I'm getting mine.
How you going to get yours if you don't support somebody else? That's how you get yours, is by supporting other people.
Listen, check that out. You know what the thing I find so interesting? Wait, real quick, K-Dog, before you go in.
Yeah.
You know what I find so interesting? Now, we know on the news, there's a whole lot of friction over in the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
But can somebody answer the question? If there's friction over there, how come there ain't no friction over here? The Jews and the Muslims, I've seen Jews and Muslims work together over here. How is life with that? But then over there, it's beef, but over here, everybody's like, we're going to make this money. We're going to get this money. So, I mean, it makes me wonder, like, what is some wag the dog situation going on? Like, what the hell?
Let's look at things in a whole huge aspect of things. Take, for instance, the Asians. When they come here, and mind you, they come here with no money. Within a few years, they're already making money. They keep money within their own community.
Yep, mm-hmm. They have their own bank. Got their own bank.
Yep, they have their own bank.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, they have their own town. You have a Chinatown everywhere. And take another example. Take the Jewish people. Jewish people, and I live right nearby the Jewish people here in Crown Heights. They have their own bank. They have their own businesses. They keep their businesses in their community. And they have a strong united front. They look out for one another. Another example, you look at even the Latino community. They have their own. The Arabs?
Oh, yeah.
The Arabs have their own. We don't try to get our own.
Yep.
And that's the problem. Because you know what? We have a lack of unity, and people say, oh, we don't need unity. Oh, yes, you do, because you know what? You have to look out for one another. And you know, another group that I'm going to bring up, I know this is going to sound controversial, the LGBT community.
Oh, yeah.
When I tell you, they have their, they look out for one another. That's why they're able to get the government to be on their side, because you know what?
Yep.
They form a united front. They go to their senators. They go to their council people, and they get
yep.
things done. We don't.
They make noise.
Yeah.
They make
yep.
noise.
But see, they make a different type of noise than we do. They make
yep.
a different type of noise. We don't, you know, we don't make the type of noise that they make. And just like you said, Kato, they go to their senators, they go to up top to the higher ups.
They go to their local,
and get what
they
got
to
get done.
But we don't do that, do we? Instead, we
nope.
sit there, we get mad for one day. Look at our businesses. We should be making money in our own community. We need our own banks. We need schools for our children. The problem is that why is it that we're spending money on Air Jordan instead of money
because
on
we
educating
want to look good
children.
First, because we want to look good first and win later. Like some, like
yeah,
I think
exactly.
There's this mentality of if you look good, that means that you're winning. Listen, Jack.
Right.
There's plenty of people out there that's not looking good. That got a black card. They win
yep.
tall jeans. They win 8 year old
mm-hmm.
sneakers. But yet they,
right.
they pull out their black card real quick.
But think about
but
this. Now think about this. This now this is where it's coming from what we're talking about now. Exactly. Once again, like I said, you're going for not you, but you know, our people will go on Fifth Avenue, go to the Gucci store, go to the Louis
mm-hmm.
store, go to this, go to that. We'll go this, that, and other because, and I'm gonna put it to you like this: it's all a plan. Because guess what? Who do these young people listen to and what they watch? Now I'm gonna tell you like this. Now y'all remember back in the days, Dapper Dan. Everybody got
yeah.
clothing and stuff from Dapper Dan. That was black owned, right?
Yep.
But that's
yeah.
the thing. The rappers of our time, that's who they dabbled. They dabbled with people of their own people, even down to Carl Kanas. Everybody was wearing Carl
yep,
Kanas back in the 90s.
Yep.
Exactly.
This is true.
So guess
what?
So what
happened?
So
Fat Farm,
now, that's what I was getting ready to say. Now, exactly, Fat Farm, FUBU. Now, look how it switched. Now, look at these rappers now. Everybody's going to these white designers and getting their clothing. And guess what?
And
these kids are mimicking it.
Yep.
You know where it really started from? Let me tell you where it started where that change started. It started with was it Al Pastor? No. It was either H&M, Al Pastel, American Eagle, or what's that other one? Abercrombie and Fitch. Guess what? That's when all those other rap, like what's his name? Wiz Khalifa, when he first came out, he was wearing all that stuff. And then all of a sudden these kids, oh, everybody wanna wear H&M and this and that.
Yeah,
because skinny ass
can fit that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you they wasn't making stuff for our size.
Once again,
but
you know
but
what?
But not just our sizes, but what I'm saying is you stupid, but what I'm saying is that's where it started from. Because now these kids were saying, oh, he's wearing something different. Oh, he's wearing Converse.
So I'm going to wear
now, guess what? We was wearing Converse for years, but now all of a sudden when Wiz Khalifa started wearing Converse.
It was hip.
But guess
it's
what?
Hip, yeah.
NWA was wearing Converse, and everybody, oh, they corny. Oh, but when Wiz Khalifa wear it, now it's the thing now.
This
and
is
then
what
it's all
become.
Sudden, right, and then
the
all of a sudden,
is,
I'm sorry, Kato, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, now you see all these kids, everybody now from the Converse, then everybody's going to American Eagle. Guess what? American Eagle was in Kings Plaza when I was a teenager, and guess who was going in there? Only the white kids was going in there. Man, now that my kids got that age, that's all you seen in there was black kids. I said one time, it wasn't a black kid in the store.
Yep.
It was not one black kid either working in the store. Wasn't no black kids working in the store.
And you know what's sad? This is where it comes down to. We're allowing ourselves to be used as guinea pigs.
Exactly.
I hate to say this.
Absolutely.
And you know what? People may disagree with me and say, "Oh, you straight up cooning." No, it's reality. Because why? This is what we've become. We have lost our sense of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
We lost our sense of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad part
about it. We don't even have the sense of self. That's the problem.
We don't.
Sense
nope.
of self.
Nope. Sure don't.
But then after, if you say that, you're wrong. You say that, you're completely
well, I'm
wrong.
I'm just glad to be wrong.
Don't
you're
you know?
Wrong.
Don't you know that's what it is these days, Kador? That's what it is. If you say something against the grain, you're wrong. If you say anything against the grain, you're either wrong, you either mean, or you're crazy. I get it all the time. Oh, you're crazy. Oh, you don't understand. You're crazy. You don't know. All right. Yeah, or you're cooning or something.
You're cooning.
Oh,
you know,
no, you don't know what
cooning.
You're talking about. Okay.
Oh, really?
All right.
Because you know what? You look at the black businesses. We should, as smart as a people that we are, as intelligent that we are,
well,
we are
be.
People that build. That built, we built things, we created so much, but then after, now look at it, now in 2017, we're losing our minds. And you know what's sad
it's
about it?
It's the slave mentality. Slave mentality.
There you go, that slave mentality. We're slaves to the dollar, we're slaves to the almighty dollar, we're slaves to social media, and we're slaves to reality shows. That's what we're allowing ourselves to be slaves to.
Absolutely.
And you know what? When we fail at certain things, there shouldn't be any excuses. You can't go around and point a finger and say, oh, the white man caused me to fail. No. You have to stare yourself in the mirror and say, wow, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Right. What did I do wrong?
Like I said, we should. We need our business
early.
We need our bank. Invest in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't, as much as they in the hood, as much as Chinese restaurants, liquor stores, and Crown Chickens, and that's, you know, all that is the bad food and the bad liquor. But anyway, as much as that is in the hood, why we don't own any of that?
Exactly.
At all.
Because they ain't going to let
you. We don't
you.
Own no liquor store. Listen, I've come across a few. Listen, I have to shout them out because it was on Farmers Boulevard in Queens. There's a black-owned liquor store. And, man, the guy was so – he was so friendly there. I mean, listen.
You talking about
Brady? I forgot the name of it. But it's on Farmers in Linden. And, man, listen, I would drive from a distance. Just to go to them, just because of the attitude there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just because you know, they just made you feel like, oh yeah, check this out. And you know they was gonna try and sell you something, but they did it so peacefully. Like it was so nice. Like they made you feel comfortable in there while you buying liquor. Like sometimes you go in the Asian store, because you know you got in the hood, you got a lot of Asian liquor stores, and they have this look. You said no, you can't touch nothing. Unless you give me some money first. Show me you got money.
Right.
Like, as soon as you go in the store, you feel uncomfortable because the first thing they think you're going to do is steal.
Man, listen, there's a liquor store right around my way on Rogers Avenue in Union. I forgot the name of it, too, but let me tell you something. Talk about friendly. Talk about down to earth. They make you feel welcome. They make you feel so welcome, and it's a very good liquor store, and I was very proud to go in there. And I made my purchase, and let me tell you something. I was like, wow, I would love to go back there again. And I always go back. Since then, that's been my prime place to go. And
yeah,
it's the cleanest. It doesn't look like a typical liquor store. They have wine tasting in there and the whole nine.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
nice.
The thing, and then you don't mind spending your money in places like that because you know the service is good. But see, that's the thing that people don't get, and you know, some of our people don't get is that your service is what makes people want to come back.
Yes.
Even like not just a storefront business, but even people that are doing like business, like people that do businesses on Instagram and they sell hair or they sell a cheesecake or they sell whatever, desserts or whatever. How you treat people is how people, is what makes people want to buy from you. Like I had an experience with some young guy that was on Instagram and I started following him and he does all these different cheesecakes with tricks and all this, you know, like trick cereal and all this other stuff. All right, fine. He was saying, you know, he was on there, you know, people ranting and raving about him. And I myself wanted to doubt. I thought, all right, let me see what he's about. I text him because he specifically put on there, don't call or anything like that. I said, okay. So I text him one Saturday, and it was about maybe 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So he didn't get back to me. I said, all right, well, maybe the person is busy or whatever. He texts me after 12 o'clock And I text them something, you know, I text them, you know, I'm a, you know, custom, you know, I would like to purchase, I would like to know, do you come to Brooklyn or whatever, whatever, this, that, and other. He texts me back, oh, who is this? And I'm saying to myself, who is this? I don't have to announce who I am. So I text him back, I said, I'm a potential, you know, customer that would like to purchase,
yeah,
you know, some of your products. He started going in like me and him was in a relationship. Oh, I need to know who it is that's texting me. How you just going to text me? You a grown woman. I said, oh,
wow.
My God. I said, you know what? I said, absolutely not. I unfollowed him and everything. I said, no, absolutely not. And I'm saying, and see, this is what I'm saying. People don't realize, and maybe because on one of his pictures, he got one of those celebrities, I think, what's her name, Little Mama or something like that, tasting his cheesecake. So I guess he thinks because he got that person to do that, okay, but the thing is, you want to keep your business going. And when people start seeing how you are, that's word of mouth. Other people are going to be like, yo, that person is real. He's this, that, and the other. I don't think you want to buy from him.
Exactly. Well, he was stealing himself because, you know, he had somebody with a sad bit of status.
Yeah.
Probably so. So he was stealing himself. So,
right.
And that's the thing. Sometimes
throw away the ego.
Well, yeah,
right.
Listen, ego will hurt your pockets.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Just because you made $1,000 in sales today don't mean you're going to make that tomorrow. You know, there's highs and lows, but you always got to be humble. But sometimes, you know, our folk, they don't want to play humble.
Yep.
And like I said, you have some people, you have some Caucasians or other types of people, they will open that little store in the area, and they'll sit back patiently. Oh, the business will come. The business will come. But our people, black people, some of them, they want it right there.
You're so
they
busy.
I want to make $5,000
right
today.
Now.
I want that
that's
now.
Nice and all. That's all well and good.
They're not willing to wait.
Work for it. Wait for it. It's going to come.
Nah.
No, they don't want to wait for that. This is microwave, what's the name?
Generation.
That's that, you know, this microwave generation.
Where
everything has to be fast and quick. And, I got a celebrity, so I don't need nobody else. You got one celebrity. Like, get out of here with that.
But, you
get
know,
out of here.
They're so hot for that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but once
again,
ridiculous. I mean, this is what it is. This is why we don't get the support. This is why things are the way they are. And you can't. Go ahead, K-Dawg. Go ahead.
No, but this is why, you know, if, like I said before, we don't want to hear the truth about what we're doing wrong, and this is one of the things that there is. We want other people to jump in and support us, but yet we don't support ourselves enough.
Right.
Of course not. We never do that.
Of course not.
Nope. But yet, oh, so-and-so don't support, so-and-so's a sellout. No, it's like this. We have to do better. We have to take responsibility.
I mean, listen, some of these people who put in for business loans. Like, you know, some black people are like, oh, I tried to go for a business loan, and they denied me because they're black. No, they didn't deny you because you was black. A lot of times you get denied because it's like, yo, you're probably not going to last. Like, we need to study
the
whole thing is, yeah, and it's like, yo, you're going to start this, and within the first 6 months to a year, you're going to bail out, or you're going to need some type of help, or you're not going to be able to afford to pay this because what you're doing is unrealistic because it's not even real. So it's not real to you. It's like owning the business is more important than actually doing the business. Oh,
right.
I own my own business. Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Okay, you got bragging rights, but it don't mean nothing if you ain't standing behind your work. It don't mean nothing. But like I said, a lot of people, they just want the bragging rights. Oh, well, I own this, and this is mine, da 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 da. Yeah, okay, whatever. We'll see where you at in 12 months. 12 months.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we'll see where you at.
Listen, and like I said, the days of making excuses, the days of coming up with every excuse you want to blame, listen, first up, in our community, we do need improvement. We do. Like I said earlier, the other communities, the reason why they have improvement is because they have a united front. They keep things in their community. They build together. They look out for one another. And it's a shame that we don't do that. And I'm not saying I'm blaming my people. I'm not saying I'm blaming us as a people, but it's 2017. And the days of all this flip-flopping and all this anger and all this stuff, it's done and over with. It's 2017 now. We got to get it together in our own.
Well, we got to stop pointing the fingers, man. We got to stop pointing the fingers, and we got to take accountability for our actions. Like, listen, like, I work in security. I work with a firearm. And you know what? How people look at, I mean, some of the discussions that I've had in terms of when it comes down to law enforcement and stuff like that, I mean, it's the mentality that some individuals have when it comes down to black people. Once again, it comes down to that stereotype, and it's so sad. Like, I heard somebody today really try to justify the whole situation with Mike Brown. Now, listen, I wasn't there. I don't know. In one breath, the person says, oh, you can't believe anything and everything that the media says. But then in the next breath, oh, well, that cop was right with what he did because he said this, this, that, and the third. Well, who said he said that? The media said he said that. But yeah, you just said you can't really trust the media. So the whole thing is we get condemned from many, many angles. It's like if you don't believe the media, yet if somebody says something that we did something, then you're going to believe it, even though you know the media's crazy. So it's really just that bad.
It's just that bad.
And that's bad because you know what?
We're not trying to clean that up. We're not doing anything to clean up that.
And you know what? With the whole case with those cases, it's horrible what they did. And you know what? There was no justice afterwards. We didn't see any justice, but then after, this is where we as a people, we got to stop doing this thing about, oh, well, we'll be angry one day, and then next thing you know, they wave something in our faces, and then we become, next thing you know, we run into the store the next day. I'm like, no, there's no sitting down for this.
No, there shouldn't be.
Right.
But you know what? But we become complacent. And we sit in a corner. Once again, it's the slavery thing. We're like a lot of us are still mentally slaves. We're still slaves. No matter how some people want to say, "Oh, I'm not a slave." Yes, you are, because you've grown complacent. Yeah. It's like you just turn around and say, "Yeah, okay, all right, no problem." Yeah, all right. Some a black man gets killed today, or so. Oh, something happens, a black woman get killed. Okay.
We get angry one day, and then business as usual. There's no business as usual. Come on, man. We gotta do better than that.
Well, that's the thing. We gotta do better, but it's like we're not going to do better. We're not going to do better.
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for better to come. Better ain't got here yet.
Yeah, I'm not
That's a damn shame to think that way, but it happened.
The bottom line is this. In wake of lack of black businesses, people, it is 2017. There is no need to want to blame other people for lack of things. We do need to focus and say, hey, listen, look, we got to take responsibility. Because all the other nationalities, they're already taking charge of whatever they need to take charge of. We're not.
Of course not.
Not at all.
Like I said, the sad part about it is some of us acknowledge it, yet we still just don't try to do anything about it. So like I said, I'll see a black business. And you know what? I'll try them out. But
same here.
Even, look. Even when it comes to Caribbean restaurants. Now we know that the Caribbean, like you go into a Caribbean spot, it's going to be a little pricey. Why?
Right.
Because
right.
This ain't no processed food. These are people.
This is
back
real food they're making.
They're
real
chopping
dream.
It up.
Yep.
Yeah, this is real food.
He said
back
there cooking.
You know what I'm saying?
They're cooking.
Listen, I've been to Western
restaurants,
and
let me
tell you
something.
Word up.
But somebody's gonna say, oh, $8 for that little plate, yo, son. But you go to a health food store, you go to Trader Joe's, and spend like $20 on a half a piece of fish. Like, oh, it's organic.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'll do it. But you won't go spend the money in the Caribbean place knowing that that food is way healthier than that McDonald's,
way
that
healthier.
Wendy's, or that this, or that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like sometimes
absolutely.
You just, even the Tex-Mexican spots are more healthier than the damn McDonald's and Wendy's and all. But you
oh,
know
yeah.
what people, no, I'm not messing with that. No. That's
oh, I only got $5.
You got to make that $5.
But see, that's
work.
What it is. But that's what it is. It's cheap. They know. See, once again, these the marketing. They know what it is. They get the 4 for $4, the 2 for $3, or you could get 2 cheeseburgers for $1, and all that other stuff. They know what's going to market. They know what people are going, are going to buy. They know that that's marketing to those young kids. The young kids, after school, their mothers give them little $2 or $3. Well, shoot, young people these days, they be having more money in their damn pocket than I do after school.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. These kids be having much more money than I used to have.
But everybody's screaming broke.
Right, right.
Some
of these kids be having more money.
I got that.
Yeah. But these kids be having more money than me. But, yeah, but they know who they're marketing to.
Of course.
You know? But, yeah, them Western restaurants, just like you said, listen.
I'd rather pay $10 for that. That you know you ain't gonna have indigestion later, or you ain't gonna
right.
regret. You know,
and
what
you're gonna be full. How about that?
Exactly.
And
you got a meal
off the food.
Yeah. You got a meal, a burger and some fries from McDonald's. That's just like a little snack. That ain't no real meal.
No,
that's not a meal. Like a meal is actually, something. Like I said, that's home cooked food from the restaurants. Oh no, that's too much money.
Yep. Shoot, they out there on the grill. They out on them grills all day long. It'd be 200 degrees.
Yeah. Yep. It'd be 200 degrees outside, and then another 100 degrees
like
in front of the griddle. And another 100 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's,
but I mean, like I said, it's. We need to do better. We want to talk about economic strength, I haven't heard the album. But people are saying, Jay-Z is dropping some jewels or whatever. Listen, it ain't nothing different really from what he was saying with his first album. But my thing is this, we're still not doing it.
Right.
Listen, getting a record deal can't solve everything. Putting some music out in the street can't solve everything. Going to the NFL and NBA can't solve everything. Everybody's quick to get rich, but they don't want to be wealthy.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. You can't build wealth overnight. It's not going to work like that. Once again, we're looking for the quick fix. Oh, I need it now. Okay. Well, you get it
and
now.
That's what
you lose it. You'll lose it later. You'll lose it. So, like I said, man, I mean, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. No, we don't support.
We just gotta get it. It's bad because you know what? At the end of the day, we can't point a finger and say, "Oh, it's all the white folks that's doing it."
Nope.
When we're the ones doing it, you know what? Hey, like I said before, is there a thing called racism? Yes, there is. Is there white privilege? Yes, there is. But other people have taken the responsibility to be responsible for their own in their own communities and look at us. We are split. We don't
mm-hmm.
support our own.
Nope, we
don't form a united front.
Nope.
Well, we don't, because you know
not
what? We
all.
Say that.
We too proud. We'll fry chicken in the house, but we too proud to fry chicken to get and get a paycheck for it.
We too proud
exactly.
to do X, Y, and Z. We're too proud to do this. Listen, when I see a bunch of black people working at McDonald's or KFC or some Popeyes, I'm like, listen, you about your business. You do what you got to do. There's some people out there that don't have a problem with doing those smaller jobs, but then you got other people out there. I ain't flipping no fries. I ain't doing nothing. You don't want to make no money.
That's right.
You're not even trying. Some of them are trying. You're not even trying to introduce yourself to the workforce, but yet you want to own a business. You want to run something. So why don't you learn how to run?
Educate yourself on doing it.
Well, that's,
right
now that's the problem. Once again, you, K Dog, you just said a bad word.
Educate.
No, man. Nah, man.
People too busy living in that dream world of a power or empire.
Empire.
They too busy. You know, they want to be a loose lion.
They too busy worrying about Rob Black. What's his name? Black China and Rob Kardashian.
Once again, we're becoming slaves.
I was gonna call him Black Rob.
Once again, we're slaves to all of this.
Yep.
There's something we're slaves to.
And the thing is, we don't try to step away from it. And that's the problem.
Oh no.
That's why we'll never get ahead.
You know what I've heard people say, or what I hear people say when they talk about, you know, like love and hip hop and all that mess that's going on. You know what I hear people say? Oh, it's my escape. Wow, that's how you escape life, is by watching that mess.
Why don't you read a book? Thank you.
That takes too much brain power.
Thank you. Read a book. I'd rather read a book. I'd rather listen to some good R&B or some old school hip hop or something nostalgic that'll take me back to a time when things were simple. I'd rather do that to escape.
But when
not
you,
watch
well,
that drama filled mess.
No, but this is the thing. A lot of them watch it. There's a lot of people out there, especially black people, that watch it because they want to see if there's somebody more ratchet than them.
You know, I don't know
it okays the ratchetness.
And you know what's sad about it? People try to live like that.
Separate what's reality and what's fake. Right.
Separate the reality from the theatrical. You know, we cannot sit there and become, this is what we become slaves to, social media and reality shows. Educate ourselves. We want to start businesses in our own community. We want to build up our own. We got to educate ourselves.
But see, the thing is, but why educate yourself when I know auntie somebody or somebody or a friend of yours, she on Instagram and she sell hair, and what she did was just start putting up pictures on Instagram to sell hair, and she braid hair all day long, and she put up pictures up there, and now she making money. Why should I learn how to start, why would I educate myself on learning how to start a business?
There's so many free seminars on how to start your own businesses. There's so many of them. Just go ahead and attend them. Take notes.
Can't
they don't do that.
Big Red, all I want to really get a point, what I want to say at this point is this. Whether the man was guilty or not, which I don't really believe he was, but that's another conversation. But Bill Cosby, in his time and what he did for blacks and just minorities in television, I mean, there's others before him, but when he did the Cosby Show and when he did A Different World, he was like, listen, you don't have to be this. You can be this.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to college. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was making it
book appealing. Like, there was positive images of us,
right,
of Hispanics, of
right,
other people. There's positive images. We weren't clowns. We weren't drug
dealers. But now
look
at us now.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, listen, to white people, Bill Cosby was the most, to me, he was the most dangerous man ever. Because
at
that time, he gave people hope. He gave some people a sense of self. You don't have to be on the streets because you can go to college. There's kids, people looking like you going to college. Yeah, this may be a TV show, but you can make this real.
Right, you can actually,
But some of us didn't even support that because, you know what, many of us were bashing things. Oh, you want us to live like the white folk. I'm like, wow, that's that slave mentality right there.
Right,
you
want to
live like the white folk?
Wow.
Why can't you just be living? It ain't like the white folk. Why don't you just be living? Yeah, I used to hear it before. Oh, you know, a black female attorney, and he's a gynecologist. This is
really?
Right,
really?
That's impossible.
And it's like, really?
Because your train of thought is limited. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean, he was very dangerous. And you know what's crazy?
He was.
We had 8 years of Obama, 8 years of a black man in office who talked about having his mother-in-law come over and cook. You know what I'm saying?
But
mm-hmm. It's all about family.
But he did nothing for us.
No. Well, he didn't give us a pack of Newports in the 40s. That's what he didn't do.
All right.
Oh, he protected other people, but he did nothing for us. I'm like, wow.
Okay. Yeah. He can't do anything for you if you don't do something for yourself.
That's right. Exactly.
He was the prime reason nobody can say, the white man, you can't say the white man no more, asshole. You just had a black friend.
Yeah, but that's what they want to do.
They need somebody
to blame. They need somebody to blame, and that's the sad part about it. They need somebody to blame.
So, once again, we have become America. Because America will always need somebody to blame. They will always need an enemy to make themselves look good. So we will always need somebody to blame so we can feel oppressed.
And you have these so-called professors who sit there and bring this up, saying like this, oh, blame the white supremacy. This is true. Like I said, there is white privilege. There is racism.
Right, we know that.
But we're allowing it by not taking responsibilities for what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2017. It's not 1957. It's not 1967. It is 2017. Wake up.
Yep. No, they don't want to wake up. Once again, you speak in a foreign language. They don't want to wake up. They don't want to wake up because, as I always explain to some of these young people, they're changing up your whole dynamic of your neighborhood. I hear these phone calls all day of people that live in certain areas where there were never any Caucasian people, and guess what?
They're moving in.
Exactly. They're in your neighborhood, and guess what? They're calling and complaining about you making noise. The same noise you've been making on this block for the last 25 to 30 years that you've been living here, or maybe longer
and
than that. So now they're complaining about you having a party.
And the sad thing is, we don't own nothing.
Exactly.
We own practically nothing. What happened to these blacks on Wall Street? Why not buy some property in our own community? Why not build things in our own community? Keep money in. But we're not doing that. But yet, you're going to sit there, blame the white man. Listen, this is your neighborhood. Do something about it.
Exactly. Unbelievable. And they sitting up there doing that, and it's just like, really? I don't know.
But yet, we're not doing that.
I don't know what we do.
We are, because, like I said, we're slaves to all of these things, but yet we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Educating our children.
Exactly.
Putting money inside
our
own community. Building, not destroying. Building our own community. Because
what
you know what?
That?
In reality, not everything is somebody else's fault.
Right. And it wasn't it like one black owned bank, like what was that bank called?
The George, I believe it's the George Washington Carver,
or something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Carver. Yeah. Now, what happened to that bank? I haven't heard about anything about that bank in a couple of years. Now, what happened to them?
I don't know.
Is it still around?
No one really knows. No one really knows.
Oh wow. We do need our own banks, man. We need our own. You know, people. We gotta own our own.
But that's
we have.
Right.
If we can't deal with each other, then we're not capable of owning or running anything else. If we can't start from within, then it's a new point to a degree. I mean, it's sad. We don't even support each other. That's what the whole show is about. We don't even support each other. So how can we really expect to move forward if we do not support each other, if we don't economically try to treat each other better? Like, what are we supposed
right.
to do? You know what I'm saying? Where are we
yeah.
really going to go? Where are we? I mean, look, I was looking at a video. I was looking at something briefly on Facebook, and I'm probably going to watch it. You know, we've got 4 more minutes left in the show, but I'm going to watch it later. But apparently somebody was recording some so-called Black Lives Matter activists talking about, oh, we got to kill people, or we got to kill white people. Like, listen, let's get something straight for all those that are listening. And I'm going to say it's the best way, I won't say the best way, but the most serious way I can about what you heard. Because my whole attitude is this. If you want to run into that, you want to believe that propaganda, and you want to think that most or 90% of Black America is all about wanting to kill you because of what you got or what you're doing to us, listen, you're sadly mistaken. You live a miserable
Bad
life, and you need to go fill your bathtub up with water and go dunk your head in it. That's
go jump
do.
In it.
Because nobody, because most of us don't even give a damn about what you're doing or how you're doing it. Because we're trying to get off on our own. But when we start having race papers and Black people want to get us in front of a camera and talk about killing people, listen, let me tell you something. I hate to say it, but then again, I don't. You're the person that should have been taken out instead of Trayvon Martin. You're the person that should have been taken out instead of the Sean Bells or, you know what I'm saying, or the Antoine Sterling. Something should happen to you because you shouldn't be going out there preaching hate. But this is why I don't support this whole Black Lives Matter thing, because we don't have it under control.
Right.
You put something out there and then it breaks off into like, oh, well, we want to talk peace. No, we want to talk war. We want to talk this.
Because you know what? It doesn't make it.
Come on.
It doesn't make it better than any of them out there. It doesn't make it better than
exactly.
any of those racist suckers out there. The ones that are caught. The ones that want to wipe us off the face of this earth. It doesn't make it better than them.
Exactly. So it's like, why would you even go out there and talk with that hate? But this is
right,
what a lot
exactly.
of them do. And they think it's justified because somebody got killed. No, it's not justified. You don't go out there and. Martin Luther King said, "You don't fight hate with hate."
You
then again,
have
you
to,
know, some people don't even know who Martin Luther King is. So,
they're quick to call
right.
him a coon. That's the sad part
yeah.
about it.
Oh yeah, I've heard people say that.
Listen,
I've heard people say that.
We need. I mean, this would be a topic for another time, but we needed a Malcolm X and we needed a Martin Luther King. We needed both sides of the fence. But the
yes,
whole
we did.
Is, if they would have combined. If they would have come
mm-hmm.
that's why
yep.
it had to be stopped. It had to be stopped. Because if they
oh,
would have
yeah.
combined, yeah.
it would have been a problem.
Yeah, it would have been a big problem.
It definitely would have been a problem.
Yeah, big time. After Malcolm X stripped the Mecca and he came back and saw what he saw, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he
it would have been
sit down with Martin Luther King, yeah, been a problem. It would have been a problem.
Yep, definitely.
So, yo, we got less than 60 seconds left. Thank you, K-Doll.
Hey, you're welcome, brother.
Thank you, K-Doll.
You're welcome. You're welcome, y'all.
Everything. Thank you, Big Red. And,
you're welcome.
I guess
we'll see you. Welcome, brother B.
Next week. On my birthday. Next Sunday, my birthday.
Yay!
So, I want everybody
yeah,
that's
man.
Going to be listening. Make sure y'all got a shot glass in your hand, because at 8:30,
that's right.
we're going to throw one back for Brother B.
And don't forget, tomorrow night, we have
the
Absolute
Truth
Show.
at 10:30. Yep. Hot Rod,
Block Talk Radio,
and Sean Black.
Hot
Block
Dog
Talk Radio. It's on right, tomorrow. Sean. It's on and popping tomorrow.
No doubt.
Uh oh.
Be tuning in. All right, everybody.
Yeah, man.
Have a good night.
All right.
Another episode.
Later,
down.
Guys.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Block Talk Radio. We out.
Peace.
Peace out.